broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight. My guest right now is Emmy-nominated writer and actor-producer Rich Tallarico, who has written for Key & Peele, SNL, and Mad TV. And he created the sketch. I want to talk about this because he created the sketch basically with help from others, but it was his idea, called The Substitute from Key & Peele. And here's a little taste of that sketch right now.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city, so don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Okay, let's take a roll here. Jay Quellen. Where's Jay Quellen at? No Jay Quellen here?
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play. Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jay Quellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? There's no Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your damn mind?
Blake?
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real.
This is so great. Rich, yes, pretty sir. Pretty big honor. You've been nominated for Emmys and WGA Awards, but that particular sketch was added to the Smithsonian Institute's National Museum of American History. What does that feel like?
Well, I was there. It was such an honor to see it. It's in an exhibition in the pop culture wing, you know, so we're there with Archie Bunker's chair and the Ruby Slippers, and there's an exhibit about, you know, comedy that changes the conversation kind of thing, and just very delighted. I went and met a good friend of mine there, and she took me to lunch at the National Press Club after that, but it was a great visit to D.C. this spring to see the piece. It's supposed to be there for 20 years.
Wow.
So, you know, very, very much an honor, and, you know, something that came from my eighth grade teacher to the world. And, you know, everybody knows it. It's very bizarre, and people are always sending me license plate pictures. People have Aaron and Jay Quellen license plate. So it's a trip. You know, it's nice to, you know, once in a while something pops through, and I've been lucky to have a few of those things over the years, and keeps me going. It's a lot of fun.
One of the best things I think about, well, just life in general, but also kind of like a journey through the entertainment business, is you think back to things that gave you an idea. And I love the idea of you sitting in class in eighth grade, just listening to this guy, maybe having a laugh, but having no idea at that moment that somehow that guy would be a catalyst in some way to get you to the Smithsonian. I think that's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So let's talk a little bit about, you started at Second City. I think when the first time I met you, you were at Second City. I've had a lot of my friends on the show that came up through Second City. What was that experience like for you? You walk into this place and it's like this sacred place of sketch, and they put people on SNL and on these TV shows, and it's such a great brand. How did that help your career? And if you hadn't done it, would you have found your way anyway?
What a great question, Pete. Well, when I walked into Second City, I was 19. Wow. It was 1992, and my first teacher was a guy named Stephen Colbert. Now, I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but yeah. It was, you know, obviously he was an incredible first teacher, and I studied with him, but I kept failing the auditions to get into the training. And every time I'd fail, I'd go back and retake Stephen's class. And finally, after they just wouldn't seem to let me in, Colbert said, go find Del Close and Sharna Halpern. They're teaching the Herald, which, you know, all were words that were going to, you know, be a big part of my life. I had no idea. And, you know, every time I'd fail at Second City, I'd go to Improv Olympic and I'd do shows. I'd get on teams. I'd take classes. And I was just talking about this with a student recently that, you know, you got to have a dojo to show up and do the work. So Improv Olympic kind of became my place, you know, and I remember thinking, oh, I'm up here with all these losers at Improv Olympic who couldn't get into the city. And all the people at Improv Olympic, by the way, are Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Jack McBrayer, Adam McKay, among others. You know, Ian Roberts, who is, of course, one of the UCB founders and our showrunner on Key & Peele. So a lot of these people were going to be in my life for the next 30 years. And it was an incredible time. Chicago, as you know, in the early 90s, mid-90s was a, you know, and it is now too, by the way. I mean, it's incredible. And so is Austin, Texas, and so is Philadelphia, you know, and so many cities, right. New York, of course, and L.A. But Chicago in the 90s was nothing like it. You know, touring with Second City and, you know, would I have gotten as far as I had gotten without Second City and without Chicago? I don't know, because I definitely got in on a wave that was rising and swelling. You know, Dave Koechner also, you know, a big part of my improv.
Love Dave. Yeah.
So, you know, I was just in a very good place surrounded by, you know, from a first teacher of Colbert. Carell was also somebody, I didn't study with him, but he was on main stage when I was there, Amy Sedaris. So I just had great examples. And I will say, just after visiting the main stage cast, you know, a couple weeks ago, they're very solid, extremely professional and sharp and very, very funny people. And that's what I think you get out of these kind of crucibles of these great comedy scenes, is people get very sharp, very good, very confident, and that's a lot of fun to be around.
Did it help you? Did the improv training and the sketch writing help you? Obviously the sketch did, but like your improv training, what did that do for your writing skills, Rich?
Well, you know, they're somewhat interchangeable. They certainly interrelate. The thing for me was, you know, as a writer, you're being asked to take responsibility for all the points of view in a story or a sketch. And that's something that you certainly do in improv. It's like, this is the filter through which only I look. This is my point of view, and I can manage that. So if you can do it once, you can do it five times, and you can it helps make writing a lot easier, because, you know, good scenes are a point of view ballet, if you will. They're just a series of points of view enduring each other, you know, with various conflicts and, you know, stories going on. But yes, being able to manage point of view, big improv skill that helps in writing, among others, you know, good storytelling, you know, and writing helps improv too. You know, you get a sense of when to move off, and so much. And I'm sure you experience this too from stand up. Like, you really listen to the crowd, you know, when it's time to try something else or move on or edit or.
Yeah. I think it helps you just get confidence in your instincts. You know, you become a better editor, and, I think that's and I just want to say, Rich, I love talking to writers and having writers on the show, because I feel like, you know, I've sold scripts that will never get made, but there is a story.
Me too.
Still sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, when you write something, you at least have that. You have the story. Like, producers and directors, they need the script. Like, I feel like it is the most pure and sacred part of the whole process, because that's where it starts. And I just think I'm thrilled for your success, and I hope you keep up the great work, and I hope you get your spot on the WGA board. It sounds like we could sure use you.
Well, Pete, thank you so kindly, and Conrad, thank you. It was a treat to be with you, and continued success to you, and keep enjoying keeping the nights on at light.
You got it, buddy. All right, Rich, thanks a lot. Safe travels, and we'll do it again, I hope.
Absolutely. Thanks kindly.
You're welcome. All right, that's Rich Tallarico, Key and Peele writer, and the substitute, the creator of the Substitute sketch. That's pretty cool. It's in the Smithsonian now, but sadly, you can probably see it for free, and that is exactly what Rich is trying to fight as he runs for a position on the WGA board. So how are we doing on our text, Conrad, for our contest here?
I think we're doing great. Yeah,
fantastic.
Definitely got some entries in there. We just got a new one, actually.
Yeah. Why don't you do the honors?
So Bridget says, take on me.
Oh, that's mine too. Well done, Bridget. I still, to this day, the weird thing is I like the slower, sort of more acoustic version of that song better than the original when A-ha does it. But that was such a phenomenal video. And our question, by the way, is what is the best music video ever in honor of MTV killing the radio star, so to speak? They launched this week, and we're asking, and it's a contest, folks. Tell us what your favorite music video is, and you could win two tickets to the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. And they have, you also get two tickets to Tommy Bartlett. You get two tickets to ride in a duck boat, which I understand is a military vehicle.
Yes.
That the Wisconsin Dells has to keep on hand just in case people from Lake Geneva try to take it over. I think that's smart and it's prudent. Other texts here, best videos. Oh, Talking Heads, She Was. That's a great one too. Wow, I forgot about that one. I like anything from like Stop Making Sense. That's like a huge video. That's not really just a music video. Paula says, I'm going back too far. Sorry. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, Conrad, did I scroll? What the hell? I'm like back in 1972 here with these texts.
Yeah.
Help me out here, buddy. Where are we at?
We're caught up.
Oh, we're caught up. Okay, yeah. Perfect. So anyone who answered the question, you are in the running. We will announce the winner tomorrow at 7:20. And do you have a favorite? Did you share yours? Because I know I shared a couple.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. I do like the Mr. Brightside video.
I don't know if I've seen that video. I've seen them perform it, and I love it. I love the song.
It's a crazy video. I really enjoy the video for that one.
Okay. I like all these things that I have done. That's kind of a weird. Sometimes I don't mind a weird video that has seemingly anyway has nothing to do with the song. And I'm like, I'm either completely misinterpreting what the song is about or the band is out of their minds or I don't know what's going on. Did you know that the little button at the top of a hat, you know what that's called, Conrad?
I felt like what is it?
A squatchy.
Okay, I wasn't going to guess that.
And I remember when I interviewed all those Sasquatch people and they would just call it a squatch. I saw a squatch once. That's what made me think of that. I don't know if they're...
I was thinking about an egglet for the shoelaces.
That's a thing, right?
Yeah, the egglet is the...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's Jason Momoa's birthday, folks. That's exciting. I don't... I should like him better than I do. He's like not a bad actor. He's kind of this imposing figure.
I love him in Aquaman.
I can't bring myself to... Was Aquaman good?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I think I'm starting to, like, I've been watching The Boys. I'm on season three. And that Deep, the character Deep, when they show his gills on his stomach, and I'm sorry if I'm offending people with gills or other fish people out there, but I cannot look at that. So
they
I don't think
do
I
that
like
for
it.
Him. Okay. Don't do that for Jason.
All right, this is exciting. Ben Reiser is coming up next. He is he's joining us. He works for the Wisconsin Film Festival and books all the awesome films they do or helps book them at UW Cinematheque. Ben will be here next. We're going to talk summer blockbusters and TV and maybe some of Ben's personal problems. We'll see how that goes. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night edition of Nightlight. We are broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay, statewide. Wherever you're joining us from, thank you. From the 608 Winona's Big Brown Beaver. That's a video. I'm not being, you know, risque. What does that mean, though? Winona's Big Brown Beaver. The is Primes? I have a feeling. Hold on. Let's get to the bottom. I think I know who that is. All right. Let's bring out our next guest. Oh, tomorrow, by the way, on the show, we have a comedian, John DeCoste, and it is a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr is going to join us with some new fun music like she does every Friday night. And Brittany Merlot will be here to talk about Twisters. I want to ask Brittany if she's ever actually chased storms.
I'm sure she has.
Because it seems like, based on the movie Twisters, only good-looking people do it. So, and I think Brittany certainly qualifies for that. Conrad, you could probably chase a storm or two.
Oh,
you're
thanks.
A handsome enough guy. And our next guest is a very handsome guy and a very talented guy. And he works for the Wisconsin Film Festival and finds a lot of the great, really cool films they do at UW Cinematheque. If you haven't checked it out, you have to. It's free. It's right there at Vilas Hall. And they put on great films. Ben Reiser joins us now on Nightlight. Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you, Pete?
Good. Was that your text?
No. Oh, okay. But I did hear from the hundreds of beaver people today.
Oh, you did?
That they are still looking to book theaters. Those guys, it's 27 weeks and counting that they've been running that thing in theaters and touring the country back and forth with their sort of traveling roadshow version of that movie. It's crazy.
You know, Mike, what's his last name? The director, Mike
Cheslevic.
Cheslevic. Boy, he was a fun interview. And I did not have the other guy, the star of the movie. I'm blanking.
Ryland Brixton Twos.
Yes. I mean, yeah. He couldn't make it for some reason, but Mike was great. And yeah, what a fun movie. They're like those filmmakers, Ben. Like after seeing the Great Lakes Monster and then Hundreds of Beavers, like I'm so curious as to what they're going to do next. How, not necessarily top it, but what are they going to do? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. And I think Ryland directed the first one and then Mike directed Hundreds of Beavers. So I wonder if it's Ryland's turn again, or they're just going to let Mike direct from here on out. I don't know.
Ryland's a great presence. He's very physical, does a great job with all the like in the Lake Michigan Monster. I still don't know how they filmed a lot of that stuff. I assume there was big time green screen, but he's a really good physical actor as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of green screen too, but when you hear them talk about Hundreds of Beavers, they talk about being out in the cold, in the snow.
Right. Yeah, for sure. For that one, definitely. Do they have a new film? Were you talking to them about Are You Sworn to Secrecy? They got something coming up.
No, but I think but in all seriousness, if you haven't already written this script where Wisconsin Dells goes to war with Lake Geneva, you should write that and pitch that to them, because I think that's right up their alley.
Dude, it is on. Can you see tourists squaring off? And it could be old school, yeah. The duck boats, maybe some bayonets.
Yeah.
You have a guy playing the drum. I love it. So, all right. So, Ben.
By the way.
Yeah.
Best music video is actually Billy Squire, Rock Me Tonight. The one that ruined his career. He's in like a spandex kind of workout outfit, and he's in a bedroom, and he's got a headband on, and he's doing the most ridiculous dances, but I love it. I think it's the best one.
All right, I'm going to Google that when I get home. Oh, that's a good one. All right, Conrad, add that to the list. Is Ben qualified now to...
Sure.
All right. But should we make it official, make him text?
Do I have to send you a text?
You might have to send us a text. Yeah, 855-752-4842. Just think how happy your wife will be when she realizes you've enlisted her to fight this battle with the Lake Geneva people. It'll be fun.
Yeah. What happens with that chair behind you there? Is that, if I was visiting you in studio, would I sit there?
Well, here's what happens, Ben. We do these news breaks, and sometimes people bring a nice tome with them, and they like to go sit. Oh. It's like a fireside type thing. Just read a chapter while we're taking a break. No, I would sit you right next to me. If you ever venture north, do please stop by. We'll have you.
I think I'd rather be behind you in that comfy looking chair, and I could make little horns behind your head and stuff like that. But okay, whatever. It's your show. Whatever, however you want to work it.
That would be mature. Thank you. You did not like Deadpool.
You know. I'm all for like a parody of superhero movies, but when it's coming from inside the building, it just seems a little, you know, it's kind of like Barbie, where everyone's like, "Ooh, it's so subversive." You know, they really gave it to Mattel with that Barbie movie, and I'm like, they did. And it's the same thing with Deadpool. It's like all these jokes at Marvel's expense, but you know, it's a Marvel movie, so how cutting can it really be?
So like they're parodying themselves almost. Which makes it kind of vanilla in a weird way.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something heretical. I think that's the right word. Everyone loves that. I love Gremlins. But everyone that I know who's like a film geek loves that Gremlins 2, where Joe Dante sort of like does this like madcap parody of the whole Gremlins thing. It's like, you know, it's like a... You know, it goes completely over the top. I'm not a fan of that. I give me the straight ahead Gremlins, which is funny enough on its own and also kind of scary and entertaining for a 13 or 14 year old, which is what I was when I saw that movie. I don't need franchises to make fun of themselves. Leave that to somebody else.
Well, and it's kind of like saying, I don't know that you really have license to do that, because you might not be making fun of the right things. And it's almost like you're trying to beat the satirist to the punch. And you're not going to do that. You know, I mean, if you're ripe for parody, you're ripe for parody. I agree. That's weird.
Yeah.
Did you?
Well, what about Twisters?
Yeah.
This cracked me up. here's a movie that's supposed to be the summer blockbuster, and in the summer blockbuster, it takes multiple tornadoes to convince anyone in town to go into a movie theater. And then once they go into the movie theater, they realize that's not a good place to hang out. Like, that's not actually a safe place to be in a tornado. It seems funny to me that the studios are making a movie where they are just like blatantly saying, like, nobody wants to go to the movies anymore. We're going to have to force Mother Nature is going to have to force you into the movie theater. And then, by the way, you're probably going to get swept away even if you go into the movie theater.
I thought it was weird that, like, and part of me is like, I'm trying not to be such a curmudgeon. Like, the first Twisters, I shouldn't have been as jaded as I was in my early 20s or whatever. But I felt like that was kind of hokey and folksy and just, the grandma. Oh, the tornado's headed right for grandma. I'm like, really? Okay. But in this one, I like that they gave us a lot of tornadoes for the effects and the action. It was great. But like, all of a sudden it's like there's a little league game and it's the sixth inning. It's like, here it comes. And it's like, whoa, wait, there's no warning whatsoever. The tornado is going to be here in 30 seconds. People couldn't even make it to their cars before the tornado got to the ball field.
Yeah. And these movies are all about, it's always about like, we're going to figure out how to either like dissipate the tornado and or provide early warning. They're always trying to send these sensors up in tornadoes, but nothing ever really worked. Like, there's no payoff to these movies because they, at the end of the day, they can't figure anything out about a tornado.
All right, we're just getting started. Ben Reiser's here. We're talking Twisters. Let's pick it up on Twisters. I have a couple more points. We'll do that after our award-winning news here at Civic Media. Ben Reiser's here, ladies and gentlemen, on a Thursday night, helping me bring some cool to the second hour of Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Missed exciting entertainment with Pete? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, CivicMedia.us, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Just when the song gets good. My guest is Ben Reiser. He is here. Ben works for the Wisconsin Film Festival and helps find the films. Do you actually book the films for UW Cinematheque, Ben, or are you part of a committee? I don't want to misspeak here.
I am part
of
that committee.
Okay.
It's mostly Jim Healy and then Mike King and then myself. They throw me three or four films a semester to book. And the rest of the time I'm just busy paying bills and watching movies. Have I talked to you about this before? I'm the only person I know other than the guys I just mentioned whose job it is to sort of sit down and just watch movies and TV all day and night. But I'm on my Facebook feed and all of my friends who have real jobs seem to be able to find time to get in much more movie and TV viewing than I do. They're watching every freaking show that's available on every streaming platform. I'm like, who has time to watch all of these programs? It's crazy.
It makes you think like they're not working when they're at work. Because I agree. I'm kind of like, you know, I don't understand how I could be behind and, you know, yeah, whatever. But, So Ben, you said Billy Squire, Rock Me Tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
Also, we have Karen on the text line, Whitesnake, Here I Go Again. Okay. And Stacy Stew on the stream watching the radio on Facebook, Peter Gabriel Sledgehammer. That's a great one. Stacy, text in on the text line too if you want to qualify for the giveaway. We'll read the winner tomorrow night at 7:20 for the Lake Geneva giveaway. Conrad, what is it called?
Wisconsin Chula Dells. Vista.
Chula Vista, yes, of course. Ben, I was laughing because I saw you asked if I wanted to talk about the Olympics tonight. I haven't really been watching, but I will say I saw some very funny Onion a headline. Wait a minute. This one's actually music. There's a guy, you know, they use such great pictures, and it says, hey, I know I haven't posted any. Wait, what is this? Okay. Hey, I know I haven't posted any music for a while, begins most humiliating social media post of 37-year-old's life. That's so great. But I have not been watching the Olympics, so if it's okay with you, I would like to keep the movie train moving a little bit. Then if you want to give us an Olympic update, I'd love that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But you did mention that you had seen you watched Presumed Innocent.
I did. TV, right? Yes. But let's finish up Twisters first. So, thumbs up or down on Twister. I will say this, like that love thing, I'm just like I'm so done with that shoehorning a love story into a movie, but I will say I like that there was not a big sex scene because I find that just distracting. And there wasn't even the kiss like that they talked about. I don't even like sex in pornos, Ben. That's how bad I am. I'm just done with it. But I felt like once the flirting started, they backed off enough so it was tolerable. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I was bored out of my mind during most of that movie. I can barely remember Deadpool, which I saw yesterday, and I really can't remember Twisters, which I saw a week or so ago. But my friend Scott, who I do a weekly podcast with, Scott Lucas from the band Local H.
Okay.
They've got a couple of great music videos, actually. They've got a song called All the Kids Are Right, and the music video for that is fantastic, Local H. But anyway, Scott saw me the other night and was like, I saw Twisters, and, you know, it's a piece of garbage, but that ending is so great. It's like this great screwball comedy ending. And I was like, what was the ending? What happened at the end of Twisters?
Yeah, I can't even think right now either.
It's him getting sent into the airport to you know, catch up to her.
Right.
Which he just thought was the cutest thing. And I'm like, okay, it just went in one eye and out the other for me. But, but you know, it's fine. I'm not into this whole Glenn Powell. Is that his name?
Yeah. I'm back and forth on him. I liked him.
I was not
in
into that Hitman. Oh, you liked Hitman?
Well, I liked it enough. And I thought he was good. He has kind of a nerdish, he's got a hunky body and kind of a nerdy face. And maybe that's his charm. I don't know, but it worked for me in Hitman. I don't know that I buy him as the big heartthrob, though.
Right. Well, we're stuck with him.
We're stuck with him. I'm not the demographic anyway.
Paul Schrader, you know, who has been around the movie business for a while, calls him the new Paul Newman. He wants to see him do like Paul Newman type roles, which I guess I get that. He does have that vibe a little bit, but
okay.
A Paul Newman type, he's no Paul Newman, is what I would say.
Yeah. He's likable.
I've seen Paul Newman movies.
Yeah, right. Some big shoes to fill.
No Paul Newman.
So you talked about Presumed Innocent. What did you think of that on Apple TV?
I thought it was all right. You know, it seemed obvious. I'd read the book. I'd seen the movie. And so I was sort of happy that David E. Kelly decided to change it up, give us some twists. Ultimately, though, did it really make that big of a difference? And was the payoff that shocking and that it wasn't quite what the book was? Not really. I love the antagonist in that show. I love Peter Sarsgaard. I thought it was great.
He is.
And the guy, I wish I knew his name, the guy who plays his boss, the incoming DA. I loved that guy. Whatever he was doing just cracked me up every time he was on screen.
I saw him in something else recently too. And they cast that guy in roles that make you want to punch him. And it's the way he talks. It's this unbelievably condescending, but he's great at it, you know?
Yeah.
But I agree with you, but I saw the movie and I think I even read the book and I still couldn't remember who did it. Like without spoilers, is it the same person?
Different.
Oh,
no.
It is different. Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
All right. I liked it too. I thought it was really well done. And I mean, some heavy hitters, J.J. Abrams, David Kelly. But I thought it was really well done. Yeah, I liked it.
David E. Kelly's been writing those courtroom dramas ever since L.A. Law. And I feel like when Presumed Innocent was written and was this big hit, I could just picture David E. Kelly going, ooh, why didn't I think of that? That's right up my milieu. And he's been waiting all these decades to like get his chance to sort of put his fingerprints on that story. So
yeah,
he did. And I heard they're coming up with a season two for it too. So, okay. God bless.
So who's he going to, I almost did a spoiler there, so I won't. It would be fun if there was like a serial killer thing and they just kept covering it up, but. I got to ask you something. Okay. This movie Thelma was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. read the long line, loved it. I thought, oh, this sounds great. I absolutely love this. I don't know if I've ever been more bored. I just couldn't get into it. Am I wrong? Did I miss something?
I don't think you're wrong. I think that there's some nice things on the edges, if that makes sense,
sure,
of that movie. The performances. I kind of like that grandson.
I liked him too.
But I also thought this movie should be 20 minutes shorter. And as much as I like the grandson, we don't need to know anything about him and his fiance or whatever girlfriend,
right,
and the stuff with his parents. Like, I don't need any of that. Just stick to Thelma and,
Richard Roundtree.
Yeah. Who was fantastic.
Right.
You know, and I also thought that once Malcolm McDowell shows up, it's really kind of like, what? This is what we were heading towards?
Right.
I saw it. Here's the thing. I saw it one afternoon in a theater full of senior citizens. And man, did they love this movie. And I got such sort of a contact high off sitting amidst all these people who brought their own wheelchairs and their own like mobility carts. And they were loving every second. They were talking back to the screen, talking to each other. They never had a better time.
Wow.
And I was like, it's nice that there's a movie that's appealing to this demographic in such a big way. So wasn't for me, but I dug the fact that it was for somebody who doesn't, people who probably aren't normally catered to.
I get that, and I totally agree about I liked the grandson, but yeah, he could have been on screen 15 minutes less. And the parents, mm-hmm, too, you're right. The parents were just kind of like, it was like the guy was in love with his writing or a family, mm-hmm, writing a family dynamic, but you didn't need it. The interesting parts were Thelma and Richard Roundtree.
And what killed it for me is something that keeps killing movies for me this year, which is that whatever they decide to do over the end credits, in this case, is that they're showing you video of the real life Thelma.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
who's half as charismatic as what's her name? And it's like, I don't need to see that. Right. I don't need to see home video of where you base this character off of. That's private stuff for yourself. That's great for you. You came up with a script because your grandma
was
wild like this. Yeah. We don't need to see that. Just like I don't need to see at the end of Furiosa. I don't need to see a bunch of scenes from Fury Road.
Right.
Like, I saw that movie 10 times. I don't need to see like a sort of bad pixelated version of the scenes from that movie.
Yeah.
There was another movie recently.
We talked about that last time you were on. It's like, let's show the movie that should have been the second movie because this one can't follow that, you know? Yeah, that was weird. Right. Long Legs. I just saw it last weekend. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you a little backstory. I don't remember what year it was, maybe 2017, 2018. We showed this guy, Oz Perkins, who's Anthony Perkins' son, director and writer of Long Legs. He's made two or three other movies. We showed his first movie called The Black Coat's Daughter. We showed it at the festival, whatever year it came out. And I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even realize it was a horror movie, but I was slotted to introduce it. So I introduced it at 4070 Vilas Hall, home of Cinematheque.
Yeah.
And I sat down in the front row and we had it playing really loud. It was a packed theater and it scared the heck out of me. I love this movie, The Black Coat's Daughter. And then he's made a couple movies since then, which I thought were like, not so great, but okay. And then this one, I was not looking forward to because Nicolas Cage is very hit or miss.
Yeah.
And I'd heard things about like, oh, the movie's good, but then Nicolas Cage shows up and ruins the whole thing. And so I was kind of nervous about that. But I have to say, I kind of dug it. I mean, I don't think it's as good as that first one. And in a way, it's kind of a weird, not a remake, but mine's very similar territory to that first movie he made. I like that they're billing it as a serial killer movie, but that's not really what it is. It's much more of a spoiler?
Paranormal,
to say,
maybe, or yeah.
Like a demonic possession.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's really that thing. And I thought it was good. I thought it was kind of creepy. I like that Micah Monroe. And I thought Nicolas Cage was pretty good for Nicolas Cage. I mean, I thought it was, I wouldn't say restrained, but he was in character, I thought.
But he could have, they could have like not credited him. I would have known that was him.
That's,
you know what,
true.
I mean? That would have been interesting.
That's true.
But no, I liked it. I didn't love it. I went to see that.
No.
A bunch of people from our neighborhood, a couple other dads and kids went to see Deadpool. And I haven't seen any of the Deadpool. So I said, you know, I don't mean to be a party pooper. I'm going to see Long Legs. I've been, you know, reading the reviews and the box office and all that. But yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't love it, but I liked it. You know what? It had an A24 kind of feel to it, like Maxine mm-hmm. kind of had. Sure. And I liked Maxine, I think, better than the. I don't know why I'm comparing
the two.
Oh, you did?
But, oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, you and I disagree about that.
Okay. Finally.
You know what?
Yeah.
I love, speaking of David E. Kelly, Blair Underwood from L.A. Law is in Long Legs. And the one thing I really wish, I do think that the third act of Long Legs is where it kind of falls apart. I really wish Blair Underwood got a chance to go really crazy at the end of the movie, as opposed to sort of the kind of crazy that he does. But
I will say I like the look, that told us, oh, it's in him now. Yeah. You know what I mean? That was really creepy, but I agree. They could have escalated it a little bit. What that movie you just said was called The Black Coat's Daughter, correct?
The Black Coat's Daughter. Okay. I would see that one. If you like Long Legs, this is a better version, not a version of it, but similar. I did see another horror movie that's in theaters that I liked a lot called Oddity. Have you heard of this?
Oh, no, I haven't seen, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it yet though.
It's good. Good. It's an Irish director. I think it takes place in England. It's very good.
Interesting. Okay. Let me ask you about The Boys, Ben. Have you watched The Boys?
I've watched the first two seasons, but that's another one of these. There's two things about The Boys for me. One, it's kind of that same thing I was talking about, where it's like people making a superhero show are also sort of trying to do a parody of a superhero show.
Right.
I also find it to be nasty and unpleasant in a way that bothers me.
Right.
And I feel like that's a thing with Amazon. Like, I feel like that's a trademark of these Amazon produced shows, that they really are kind of nasty. Like, there was that show Fallout this past year, which liked a lot. I think I like it better than The Boys, but there's a couple episodes that are just sort of mean spirited. And The Boys is really mean spirited, right. I find.
Right. Let's pick it up there. Ben Reiser's here. And we're talking movies and TV like we do. This is Nightlight with Peach Wobble. We'll be right back with more fun showbiz talk on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pouring rain outside. Or as they say, when I worked in a factory between my sophomore and junior year in college, and the guys would always look up in the sky and go, yeah, looks like it's going to piss. They couldn't say rain. It wasn't tough enough. But it is coming down. Ben Reiser's here, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about movies, and we have a couple more entries into our contest here. Conrad, what's that last text?
It's just a name for the number.
Oh, okay. All right. I still don't understand, but I'll move on. this is Kevin from Green Bay says, November rain, Guns N' Roses. Congratulations, Kevin. You are in the running for the Wisconsin Dells giveaway. 920 says Thriller by Michael Jackson. We got two votes for Thriller by Michael Jackson, which makes it three total. Hard to argue with that one. That was a pretty elaborate video. And that was from Tammy from Oshkosh. And then Joe from Oshkosh. I don't know if they're a couple and Thriller is their thing. Maybe that's what brought them together. I don't know, but thank you guys for playing. And,
here's the
good
thing,
luck.
Though.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, it's not November rain. It's November piss.
That's right. To us. Piss is a lot in November. It's pissing right now. Oh, what's happening? So, Ben.
Are you allowed to say that on Civic Media?
Oh, yeah. Know. We got the nightlight. We got the nighttime. Conrad, we can say that, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm holding you fully responsible.
Conrad, you have the list of all the words we can say?
He's got the Carlin words. He's got all the words he doesn't like. Conrad gets squeamish if I use the word nookie, Ben. That's what I'm dealing with here. So
yeah, well, he's not a Fred Durst fan.
So what do you guys have? First of all, let's talk about Cinematheque because it's one of the coolest things. Mm-hmm. It's free. And for people that live in Madison or in the surrounding areas, you guys show restored classics, really cool stuff. What do you have coming up?
We've got, I'm looking, I can't, we're announcing our fall schedule on August 8th. It'll be at our website, which is cinema.wisc.edu. And like you say, everything is free and open to the public. We have 170 seat theater that we show these movies at. We've got the best projectors in town, the best sound in town. We make sure we have the absolute best print, whether it's an original 35 millimeter print or a new restored DCP presentation, whatever the best thing we can get for these movies, that's what we get. And I'll tell you one thing. I'll give you two little sneak previews.
Okay.
In September of this year, there's actually a Friday the 13th. And oh, so nice. In honor of that, we're going to show Friday the 13th 3, and we're going to show it in 3D, which is what it originally was released as. So,
okay.
And this is a brand new DCP digital restoration of the 3D. You know, the one thing that I can really say is better digitally than it was on 35 millimeter is 3D. Because when you used to show movies in 3D on film, you needed two projectors. They had to both point at the screen and both be synced up at exactly the right thing, or else it would give you a headache. It would be out of sync and it was really dark. It was hard to see stuff. All that stuff is gone now with digital. It's just boom. The DCP itself, the file splits the image, and we have these fancy glasses that put them back together in 3D, and it's beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you're a fan of Friday the 13th and you've never seen Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D, now is your opportunity, or September 13th is your opportunity.
Where does that rank? Like, obviously, you guys are showing it. Part of the charm is the 3D, but where does that rank in terms of all of those movies? Because I get confused. I just kind of give up when there's like 10 movies in a series. I've probably seen two of those, you know?
Yeah, I would say that much like Halloween, or even more than Halloween, Friday the 13th is kind of a garbage franchise, if you ask me. I'd rather watch all the Fast and Furious movies than Friday the 13th.
Because those got good, right? Some of those became better than the originals. So I'm told. I have to catch up on those too. Okay.
Right. Friday the 13th, the first one isn't any good, and it never really got much better than that first one. Tom Savini, you know, is a famous makeup and gore special effects guy. He was involved with those first two or three. Maybe he still was working on Friday the 13th part. I remember seeing Friday the 13th part 3 in 3D when it came out in the theater, and I had an okay time. It's going to be great. It'll be a lot of fun.
But 3D is cool. Now,
here's one of the movies I got to pick for this semester. Now, everyone knows, well, not everyone, but of our generation, you remember when we were kids? Well, you're a little older than me, I hope, I think, maybe.
I don't know about that.
Maybe you're younger than me. Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty.
Oh, yeah.
And Julie Christie, right? Wasn't that like the
great movie?
Great movie of your childhood. Like, oh, this is such a great movie. I could see it a million times. Well, it's actually a remake of a movie called Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Yeah.
1941. And we are showing a restored print of Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which I hadn't seen until a couple of years ago. If I had, I didn't really remember it. Oh, my gosh. It's just as good, maybe even better than Heaven Can Wait. So funny.
Because of James Mason, too, though. Like, I think he was so great in that movie.
In Heaven Can Wait, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. But Here Comes Mr. Jordan, who played the...
Claude Rains, who's also fantastic.
Movies mixed up. Okay, Claude Rains.
No, that's all right. Claude Rains. And Robert Montgomery is the star. He's got the Warren Beatty role. He's hilarious. There's these great old character actors in it. Edward Everett Horton and this guy named James Gleason. They make me laugh through the whole movie. It's so good.
Oh, wow. That's great. I like the, I love Buck Henry. And the moment, the comedy in Heaven Can Wait. And I did see Here Comes Mr. Jordan ages ago, but I remember Heaven Can Wait. Buck Henry probably just arguing in the closet. Hold up on the bodies. Hold up on the bodies. I can't believe you're asking me to do this. Like, it's just as this. But it was great. Yeah. Julie Christie's great. Yeah. Warren Beatty. Loved Charles Grodin in everything. In fact, absolutely. I just watched, I needed some comfort, and I watched Seems Like Old Times because I love Charles Grodin so much in that movie. It's just,
you know what I think is an underrated movie with Charles Grodin that really got savaged when it came out. And I guess I can't really defend it in a logical way. I just think it's crazy fun. Is that movie Clifford?
Oh,
where Martin Short plays like a 13-year-old boy.
Right.
Ben, and he's driving Charles Grodin crazy the whole time.
Yeah.
Charles Grodin is just like.
Oh, we're having some technical. Are you there? Okay. Now we got you, Ben. So we had a technical issue. There we go. Yeah.
Was it on your end or mine? Because I felt like maybe it was me.
Possibly. That's okay. We got the gist of it. I love Clifford. I love seeing Martin Short's head run along the bottom of the screen. So funny. Ben, we're out of time, but this was fun. Thank you so much as always, buddy. Great talking movies and TV with you and just catching up. Let's do it again.
Yeah. Hope to see you soon,
Pete. All right. You got it. Thanks. That's Ben Reiser. Check out UW Cinematheque. Just a really cool theater. If you've never been there, it smells like the movies. It's old school. It's a really cool experience. Check it out. I'd like to thank Rich Tallarico, Ben Reiser. All your texts were great tonight. We got great suggestions, and good luck in the contest. We will announce the winner tomorrow at 7:20. My guests tomorrow are John DeCoss and Terry Barr. This is Peach Wabba Nightlight. Good night, Wisconsin.